for those who remember back before we started doing other things, we are on Hey Amud Aleph 5a. We had 1 week of a Hanukkah shiur, and then we had a week with no shiur, and then last week was the Tanakh program. So a little bit of a refresher on what we're discussing. We're talking still about the concern that the gentleman, the gentleman, word that loosely, but the gentleman will not go to Beis Din in the event that he doesn't find signs of his wife being a besula. I'm going to share the screen here so we could actually all look at this together. So that should show up any moment on your screen. This is Hey Amud Aleph in Ksuvos. Everyone has it? Okay. So we had said, if you see where my arrow is pointing here, it's really the middle of the page, at the top of the Tosfos Rid, parallel to the top of the Tosfos Rid. The Ibaya Lahu, here's our question. We said that the marriage should take place on Wednesday night, in order to ensure that if signs of her being a Besula are not available, then the man will go to the Beis Din the following morning, on Thursday morning. So the Gemara asked a question. We saw the question the last time we did Ksuvos, but just to refresh. Besula nises beraviv and ivelas beraviv, velochai shirin leikurei daita. Does this mean that you can get married Wednesday during the day, and the bia could actually be, first relations can be during the day? Velochai shirin leikurei daita. We don't worry that he's going to cool off between Wednesday, middle of the day, and Thursday morning. Odilma besula nises beravi, v'nivelas b'chamishi. Or do we mean no? The wedding is on Wednesday. However, I'm just going to mute everybody because I'm getting background noise. Do we mean that the wedding is going to be on Wednesday, but their relations should actually happen on Wednesday night, so that there will be a minimal amount of time before he can go to Beis Din in the morning, because we're worried that he might cool off in between. We noted last time from the Rashba that even though normally we say that relations should not take place during the daytime, it's possible if it's in a darkened house that it could be done. The issue is really light as opposed to time of day potentially. That's how the Rashba explained this. That was our question. Does this ring a bell? People remember what we were talking about? Okay. So, Tashima, come in. Here the Gemara says, we are going to bring you proof that relations should actually be Wednesday night. However, not because of concern that he's going to cool off and not go to Beis Din. Tashima, the Tani Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara taught, Besula Nises Berevi, Vinivelas Bachamishi. The wedding should happen on Wednesday. First relations should happen Wednesday night. Why? Hoil v'ne'em rabo bracha l'dagim. Because that's when the bracha for the fish is. The fish receive their bracha on a Thursday. That's the day that they are created. And Hashem says, pru urvu. So since Hashem says to the fish, pru urvu, on day 5, therefore, first relations should be on day 5. And the Braisa it's not really a Braisa. Well, it is a Braisa, I guess. It's Bar Kapara teaching, and a Bar Kapara is a Tana. So he taught as well. Almana niseis bachamishi v'nivelas bashishi. A widow gets married on Thursday and has first relations Thursday night. Hoil v'nem rabo bracha la'adam. Because that's when you have the bracha for human beings. The bracha of Puravu is given to human beings on Friday. Parenthetically, I think we noted this last time. The Shita Mekubetzes asks, when you talk about the bracha for Thursday, for fish, what about the bracha for birds? It also says, V'ha'of yirev baretz, the birds should become many, they should multiply in the land. So his answer, the Shita Mekubetzes, he gives two answers. One answer is yes, but the wording with the fish is actually pru urvu, which is similar to the human one. That's one answer. And second is that fish have a stronger bracha than birds do because fish are hidden from the eyes and therefore there's no ayin hara for them, so their bracha is better. So that's the bracha that we emphasize, is the bracha on the fish. But the Gemara concludes the point here by saying, Taima, Mishum Bracha, the reason why we want relations to be Wednesday night is because you want the bracha of day five. Avo Mishum Ikurei Daita Lo Chai Shinan. We're not worried about the possibility of cooling off. That's not a concern. We believe that he would, in fact, go to Beis Din. So the result is the same. Just stopping the share so I could see everybody. The result is the same. First relations are still Wednesday night, but for a different reason. The reason is not he might cool off. The reason is we want the bracha. Is that clear? You follow? So there's actually an important point. By saying that the reason is bracha rather than cooling off, that opens up an interesting possibility. Let's say the reason were fear that the guy's going to cool off. What if the guy says, don't worry about me, I'm not going to cool off. If this happens, I'm going to be good and angry, I'm going to go to Beis Din. Would that be a reason to say, okay, fine, they could have first relations during the day? What would you think? If he says, don't worry about me, I know you're concerned about cooling off, but I'm not going to cool off. Would that allow us to change things?
Well, we're not going to establish the halacha based on yachid. We're going to go with the rabbi.
You're going to say, this is the rule, and the rule applies to everybody. However, what if the reason is not about cooling off? As the Gemara seems to conclude here, the reason is simply to make sure that they get a nice bracha. So what if he says, I don't need the bracha? Thanks a lot. You know, this is a case of a widow. This could be a widow and a widower in their 70s, and they have no interest in producing children at this point. So would they be entitled to say, we're not concerned about the bracha, we don't need Wednesday night? Actually, sorry, this is a Basula case. This is not a widow, and the widower case is Thursday. Sorry. So it's a Basula, and nonetheless, it's their first marriage for each of them. Fine. He's a Bacher, she's a Basula. They just happen to be 75 years old. And they say, we're not having kids anyway. We're not interested. It's too late at night Thursday. We are Wednesday night. We're not interested in waiting that long. Would they be entitled to say, we give up on the bracha? What would you say? The bracha is hardly what we would think of as a hard and fast halachic consideration. Take a look. I'm going to reshare the Gemara with you, and we'll see what Rashi has to say about this point. Rashi is Taima Mishum Bracha. Okay, you see where the arrow is pointing here? Taima Mishum Bracha. The reason why we're making them wait until Wednesday night is for the sake of the bracha. So Rashi says, Avoman de lo kafira bracha. If someone doesn't care so much about the bracha, Mishum ikurei daita lo chai shinan mishum haipurta. We're not worried about the possibility of cooling off. In other words, what Rashi seems to say is, if you're not worried about the bracha, then don't worry about the cooling off issue either, and you would be allowed to forego it. That's what Rashi says. And in fact, there was a Tosfos like that that was printed earlier that says the same thing. However, just worth noting, the Shita Mekubetza says not so fast. The Shita Mekubetza says it has to be both of them saying that they don't care about the bracha. It's insufficient for it to be only one of them. The Shita Mekubetza just, I've quoted him before in this Masechta. It's worth mentioning and explaining a little bit. The author of the Shita Mekubetza is Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi in 16th century in Turkey. And what he did was he collected the positions of various Rishonim commenting on the Gemara, and sometimes you have his own comments as well. And it's on various Masechtos, and it's very important when you're learning Ksuvos. So that's what I'm quoting when I quote the Shita Mekubetza. This is the Sefer by Rabbi Tzalal Ashkenazi. So he says that it's not enough that the guy says, I don't care about the bracha. It has to be the guy and the girl both saying, we don't care about the bracha. And indeed, they will be allowed to forego the bracha. Okay? We're good? Okay. So the Gemara then asks.
Sorry, Rabbi Tichito, I have a question.
Yeah.
If L'chasa knows on Wednesday night, doesn't it make more sense that one should have their first relations on Wednesday night? Because that way, if for whatever reason, you know, there's a change of heart on both sides, especially on his side, the Beis Din is there on Thursday to say, help, get me out of this.
Right, so that was right before you came in. That was the Gemara's point. The Gemara said, we're not concerned that those extra couple of hours are going to make a difference in his mentality. He's not going to cool off because of that. Do the wedding. You can do the wedding on Wednesday during the day. And as far as cooling off, we're not so concerned. That was the Gemara's conclusion, was that they're not that concerned about that. You seem to have a less sanguine view of human nature than the Gemara does. The Gemara thinks it's not going to be an issue. But the Gemara asks a different question. The Gemara doesn't understand. You're telling me the widow is getting married on Thursday night instead of on Wednesday night. Don't you want the widow to be able to have the bracha of the fish? Why shouldn't the widow have the bracha of the fish? That's the Gemara's question. So scrolling down a little bit. Trying to scroll down a little bit. There we go. The Gemara asks, it's Ihachi, where I have the arrow pointing now. Ihachi, if that's true, Amana Nami Tiboel Bachamishi, the widow also should have her first relations on Thursday. Hol v'namra bo bracha ledagim, since you have the bracha for the fish. Yeah, but bracha da adam adifale. It's better to have the bracha for human beings. The truth of the matter is, meaning when Hashem says puravu to Adam and Chava, the truth of the matter is that we would have preferred for the besula to have that bracha also, but then you lose the Beis Din possibility. So the Beis Din overrides this. The inami, alternatively, we have a different reason to push the widow's wedding to Thursday night into Friday. What's that? So this is a variation on what we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, the concept of shakdu, right? Everyone remembers what shakdu was when we learned about it the first time, what that meant? Somebody tell me what shakdu meant?
I think that was the, taking time to prepare a nice wedding celebration?
Correct. So the Chachamim were diligent. The sages were diligent, shaktu Chachamim, for the sake of the Besula, to make sure that the guy is going to work hard for 3 days and prepare, not just do we set a wedding feast, but to prepare for the Sheva Brachos week. So therefore we said, don't get married on Sunday. Don't get married on Monday. We want you to get married after there have been 3 days since Shabbos. So here we have a shaktu that's not for the sake of the Besula, but rather for the sake of the widow. As the Gemara says, The inami mishum shaktu, for the sake of shaktu. What does that mean? Desanya, here's the brisa. Mipnei ma omru almana niseis bachamishi v'nivelas bashishi. Why did they say that a widow gets married on Thursday and has first relations Thursday night, Friday? She'imata omer tiboil bachamishi, because if first relations were to be Wednesday night, Thursday, you know what would happen? Lamachar, Thursday morning, mashkim l'umnusa v'holechlo. Thursday morning, he gets up and goes to work. That's what would happen. Our assumption here is that since they are newlyweds, she still wants him to be around the house. She's not fed up with having him around the house. She's actually happy that he's there. So therefore, we want to keep him home. So what did we do? Shaktu Chachamim al Takanas Benos Yisrael. The Chachamim were careful on behalf of Jewish women. She Sameach Ima Shlosha Yamim, to make sure he will be with her for 3 days. Chamishi B'Shabbos. He'll be with her on Thursday, because that's the wedding day. V'Erev Shabbos. And then he'll be there with her on Friday as well, because they just had their wedding on Thursday. Thursday night was their first relations. We assume he'll stay home on Friday. V'Shabbos, as well as on Shabbos itself. That's the idea. So therefore, they said, we're going to keep him home by having him have first relations on Thursday night, Friday. So the Gemara now realizes, that's interesting. We have given two reasons for why he's having relations with her, with the almana, with the widow, for the first time on Thursday night. One reason was the bracha of puravu given to human beings, and the other is to keep him home for 3 days. So the Gemara asks, is there any difference which reason I give? And the answer is yes. My ika ben bracha l'shaktu. What's the difference which reason I give? Who cares whether the reason is pruvu or the desire to keep him home? Ika benayu. There is a difference between the two. Number one, adam batel. If he has no work, he was going to stay home anyway. If your reason is for the bracha, you should still get married on Thursday night. However, if the reason why was only to make sure he stays home, if he's going to stay home anyway, you don't have to get married on Thursday night. You can get married on Wednesday night. Inami, alternatively, Yom Tov Shecholios Be'erev Shabbos. If Yom Tov is on Friday, then again, he's going to be home anyway. And therefore, you can move the wedding back a day. You follow? That's the idea. So just to sum up and make sure that we're clear, that we understand what we've accomplished, Bar Kappara has taught us that there are layers of reasons for why the Besula gets married when she does, and why the Almana gets married when she does. The Besula is going to have first relations with her husband on Wednesday night in order to have the Bracha of Peruvu for Thursday, even though we're not concerned that he would cool off if initial relations happened on Wednesday during the day. That's number one. And because it's a bracha, they can decide collectively, we want to waive the bracha, and initial relations will be on Wednesday during the day. And in terms of the widow, we set up the marriage originally to be on Thursday, with initial relations Thursday night, for two reasons. One is the bracha of Puruvu given to human beings is on Friday. And number two, in order to make sure that he's going to stay home Thursday, Friday, Shabbos to be with her, because we think that that's what she wants. And the difference between the two explanations is, what if he's going to stay home anyway? Either because he has no work, he has nowhere to go, or alternatively, because of Yom Tov being in sequence with Shabbos. He's going to be home for 3 days anyway. So therefore, I would have said, move the wedding back a day. And the answer is no, don't move it back, because we still like the idea of the bracha of Pruruvu. Clear?
Rabbi, is the assumption that the Almona already has kids?
Not necessarily, but she doesn't have a chiyuv of Pruruvu.
I was going to say, so we wouldn't move it back for her for Thursday because of bracha, because she's not a chiyuv of Pruruvu.
Well, yes and no. I mean, brachas are still nice, and if she wants to have kids, the Gemara later on in the Masechta talks about how women still want to have children. So, you know, she could still say, I want this bracha of Pruruvu. That could still happen. Chuck, you were going to say? You're muted, though. In those days, Tanoim were not done the same as the day of the wedding. Tanoim were done in advance.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying at the point in time, not that point in time, but at the point in time when Tanoim were done on the same day of the wedding,
okay,
would it make a difference to the scheduling of the Suva? Because if the issue is not the Besula, her being a Besula in of itself, but in the breach of the Tanayan contract, which is why you would come to the Beis Din, if that was no longer an issue because it was the same day, because whatever happened before, it wasn't a breach of a contract, whatever else it might have been, doesn't make a difference to if it would have been Thursday night too, would it have been better so they could have the bracha of that was given to mankind as opposed to the fish?
I don't understand. Why would
it... I'm suggesting,
yeah.
And maybe I'm mistaken. One of the reasons that we're making the wedding the day before the Beis Din, the night before the Beis Din, is so that if she was not a Besula, he could come before the Beis Din.
Correct.
But that's because the presumption would be that she breached her agreement, that she signed as part of the Tanayim.
Right, so it's not about that. That's a good question. The Rashi made the point back in the beginning of the Masechta that this is not about financial issues at all. If we're about financial issues, you know, you guys deal with it among yourselves and decide whether to make a claim or not make a claim. The issue here is that we are afraid that something happened involving her between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin, and therefore she will be prohibited to him. You're talking about an Isser de Oraisa, a biblical prohibition. That's where we're worried. That's what we're worried about. We want to make sure that he goes to Beis Din and that he isn't gonna forgive it. So having the Tnaim wouldn't change things. Moreover, once you have the situation where Tnaim are on the day of the wedding, that means you're doing Kiddushin and Nisuin together. And we've noted that once you're doing Kiddushin and Nisuin together, there's no more concern that something may have happened in between, and therefore the whole imperative for doing this on Wednesday nights, so he goes to Beis Din, falls away. So that wouldn't be.
So therefore, my question today is, since we're doing everything together b'vat echad, there would be no need to make the wedding of a besula the day before the Beis Din.
Correct. And that's why we don't care today.
And therefore, wouldn't it be preferable, just like the almana is married on Thursday night, so she could have the bracha on period Revia, and the groom could have the bracha on period Revia, that was given to man as opposed to the fish. Shouldn't we do the same thing for Besula?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we did make that point at one point earlier in the Masechta, that it would seem that we should then revert to the bracha days, noting though what we said earlier, which is that they could forgive that right to the bracha. They can just as easily say, okay, that's fine. However, the caterer wants a lot more money for me to go that night, so I'm going to go on a different night. That would be within their rights. So this all came to us from Bar Kappara. Bar Kappara was the one who introduced us to the idea of brachos. And largely, according to most, the next piece is just going to be here, and this is Rashi's view. The next piece that's coming is only because it's another lesson taught by Bar Kappara that is Agadita. It's not Halacha, it's just Agadita. We'll see another explanation for why it's here, but that's Rashi's approach, is that what's coming next is just another example of Bar Kappara saying something interesting. So I'm going to go back to sharing the Gemara once again. And we are now towards the bottom of the Amud, but not quite there yet. Darash Bar Kappara. If you see where the lines get wide and you go up four lines, the end of the line is the word Darash. Bar Kappara taught the following. Gedolim Maase Tzadikim Yoser Mimase Shamayim Va'aretz. He said, the deeds of the righteous are greater than the deeds of creating heaven and earth. I'm going to explain that line better, but first let's go through the initial line here. De'ilu b'mase shamayim va'aretz, when it comes to creating heaven and earth, ksiv, the pasuk says, af yadi yasta aretz v'mini tapcha or tipcha shamayim. Hashem says, my hand formed the earth, my right hand shaped the heavens. So it's only one hand. Ve'ilu b'masa yedeim shel tzadikim, whereas regarding the tzadikim and their deeds, specifically the Beis HaMikdash, ksiv, the pasuk says, machon l'shivtecha pa'alta Hashem, mikdash Hashem konenu yadecha, right? The pasuk we're familiar with from Az Yashir. You created God, machon l'shivtecha, a foundation on which to rest, mikdash Hashem, konu yadecha, your hands, plural, God, established the mikdash. So you see that the Beis HaMikdash, which we call the deeds of the tzaddikim, takes two hands, whereas heaven and earth takes only one hand. What in the world are you talking about? Right now, I don't understand what these lines mean. It took me quite a while to figure this out. What it does not mean is that whatever tzaddikim create is greater than what Hashem creates. Because with tzaddikim it says two hands, and with the creation of the world it says one hand. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because the pasuk about creating the Beis HaMikdash didn't talk about the hands of the tzaddikim at all. It talked about God's hands. So it's not about what the tzaddikim create. So I think what the Gemara is actually saying here, and Rashi will bear me out as well, is that there is Hashem's act of creating the universe, and there is Hashem's act of creating tzaddikim. And Hashem's act of creating tzaddikim is greater than Hashem's act of creating heaven and earth. Now, Chuck is immediately going to point out to me that there's no such thing as creating tzaddikim, because we have this concept of free will, and therefore it's not up to God whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or not. That's the explicit Gemara in Nida that makes that point, that that's something that is not predetermined. When Hashem creates human beings, he gives them all sorts of talents and traits, but explicitly does not say tzaddik or rasha. The Gemara says Hashem does not have that within his control. Nonetheless, what the Gemara is saying is that creating people who in fact go on to become tzaddikim is even greater than creating heaven and earth. When Hashem creates the universe, that's one hand. When Hashem creates those who become righteous, that is a product of Hashem's two hands. That's the idea. Clear? Understood?
I'm missing the thread from the creation of the temple to in fact being creation of tzaddikim.
So all you have here is the fact that in creating the Beis HaMikdash, oh, you're asking how does that come out as the deed of tzaddikim? So it's just, it's taken as a given here. If you see where I'm pointing in Rashi, Mikdash, you see the Rashi Mikdash? It says, Ma'aseh Yedei Tzaddikim Hu. It is a function of, it is created by the tzaddikim. That's the way that, that's the way we understand this. So there are a couple of issues here. Issue number one is the question I mentioned before of why is this here in our Gemara? What does it have to do with anything? So you could give the answer, which Rashi gives. Rashi, right above where I was just pointing you before, on Gedola Maaseh Tzaddikim, says, Mishum Bar Kapara Nakatla. It's just here because Bar Kapara said it. Da'iri Le'el Ba'agada. First we had one Agadata from Bar Kapara, so now we have another one. However, the Shita Mekubetz says, no, it's because this is an illustration of the bracha of human beings. First, we said there's a bracha of human beings to procreate, and now a function of that bracha is that we're able to create tzaddikim who are able to create the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a wonderful thing. However, the Shita Mekubetzes has a different problem. He says, Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha, that pasuk from Azyashir, is actually talking about the Mikdash Shel Mala, Hashem's Beis HaMikdash up above in the heavens. It's not talking about the Beis HaMikdash here on earth. So I'm going to share with you, oh, you know what? I have to call it up in order to do that. Hang on. I just realized I don't actually have it open on my screen. I was going to share with you my source sheet because that's where I put this. Hopefully some of you downloaded the source sheet from the email anyway, but let's see if I have it easily accessible on here. Then I will open it and share it. Okay. So, sharing the source sheet here. Source Gimel on the sheet. Shita Mekubetzes. He says, Ve'ilu b'maseh yedeim shel tzadikim ksiv mikdash and so on. Ve'im tomar, you might ask, v'hakrab mikdash shamala ksiv. She'eno Maasei Tzaddikim. That pasuk is talking about the Beis HaMikdash upstairs in Shamayim, parallel to the one down here. That's not what Tzaddikim create. So his first answer is, Yesh Lomar, you could say, Bishvil Tzaddikim Asa'o. God created it for the righteous. Umasha Asa Bishvil Tzaddikim Chashuv Lefanav Kilu Asa Bishtei Yadav. What God created for the Tzaddikim is so important, it's like he created it with both hands. But I wanted to show you his second answer. Inami, alternatively, krab mikdash shamataksiv. The pasuk is actually talking about the Beis HaMikdash down here. Ah, what do you mean? God doesn't create the Beis HaMikdash down here. We do. Yeah. Umayset tzadikim kari masav shalakadosh baruch hu. The deeds of the righteous are called the deeds of God. So to go back to Chuck's question, where is the thread connecting things here? The answer is that tzaddikim builds the Beis HaMikdash, And that is called God's deed, because God created the tzaddik who was able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, our construction of the Beis HaMikdash is a function of Hashem's handiwork. That's the idea. That's what we're suggesting here. And human beings are wonderful. That's the upshot. Human beings are good. We like that idea. But the Gemara is not done. And here we get to something perplexing. I'm going to share the screen again with the Gemara. Here you end up with a layered problem. Second wide line. Heshiv Bavli Echad, V'Rabbi Chia Shemo. A certain Babylonian responded. His name was Rabbi Chia. V'Abeshes Yadav Yatsaru. I have a pasuk regarding creation of the universe. You said creation of the universe is with one hand. Well, this pasuk says, V'Abeshes, the dry land, Yadav Yatsaru. His hands, plural, formed it. God's hands, plural, formed the Yabasha, formed the land. So that means that you have two hands involved in creating, or more than one hand at any rate, it could be three hands, involved in creating heaven and earth. You see the problem. To which the Gemara says, no. Yado ksiv. It's written Yud Dalid Vav, which would be his hand, singular, even if we pronounce it Yadav, plural. To which the Gemara says, Vaksiv Yatsaru. Yeah, but it says, they formed. Yatsaru is a plural. The dry land, his hands, formed, plural. So, Amr of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Yatsru Etzva Osav. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, that means God's fingers formed it. It's not hands, it's actually fingers. Kidichsiv, like the pasuk says, Kier esh shamecha maaseyetz beosecha yerech kochavim asher konanta. Looking up at the heavens, and you say, when I see the heavens, the deeds of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you formed. Oh boy. I'm going to actually do the next two lines just to finish this thought here in the Gemara, but then there's a lot we have to talk about. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges and says, well, I have another pasuk. Hashamayim misaprim kavod kel. The heavens speak of the glory of God. Umaseh yadav magid harakia. And the deeds of his hands, plural, the earth speaks of. So it's hands, plural. To which he answers, no. Hachi kiyomar, this is what the pasuk is saying. Not maseh yadav creation, but maseh yadayim shel tzadikim. Mi magid harakia. It's talking about that which tzaddikim create with their hands. The heaven tells us what tzaddikim, how wonderful it is that the tzaddikim create these things. Umayniyu, how do the heavens do that? Matar, by bringing rain. When it rains, that shows that Hashem values the things that human beings create. There is so much going on here that is unclear. If anybody actually, got this, I would love to hear it, because there's so much here that's very strange, and we haven't even unpacked all of the different aspects that are strange. Let's go back to the beginning of this. A Babylonian named Rabbi Chia responded. Everybody knows Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia is one of the greatest Tanaim. He also is family of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, or of Rav. He's family of Rav. He is the double uncle of Rav, the one who was the uncle on the father's side and on the mother's side. But Rabbi Chia shows up all over Shas. Why you pretend suddenly that you don't know who he is? Some Babylonian replied, yeah, I think it was somebody named Rabbi Chia, as though you don't know who Rabbi Chia is. This is a really it's confusing question. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Chia says, aha, I gotcha. Via Beshes Yadav Yatsaru. It says that the land was created with his hands, plural. And they answer, yeah, but it's written Yado. Doesn't Rabbi Chia know that? Shouldn't Rabbi Chia be aware of that? So, David, I saw what you wrote in the chat, but you're speaking in the big picture about what we're supposed to learn here. I'm focusing for the moment on the step-by-step of the Gemara. So the Shita Mekubetzes answers both questions in one. And he says, the Babylonians are known in the Gemara for being unclear about what we call chaseros v'yaseros. When words in the Torah are meant to be written whole, meaning that you'll have all the yuds and all the vavs spelling everything out in a word, versus when you have a missing vav or a missing yud. When something is missing, it's chaser. When something is complete, then it's shalem. You could even have an extra one, then it's yesera. So the Gemara says that the Babylonians were not clear on all of the ins and outs of the Sefer Torah. So therefore, the Gemara says, the one who gave us this answer was a Babylonian. That's Rabbi Chiya. And that's why he made the mistake, because he didn't really know. Now, Rabbi Chiya actually made Aliyah at one point, but this would have to be from when he was still a Babylonian. The funny thing, though, in this back and forth correction of Rabbi Chiya, you're telling me you've resolved the problem. The answer is Rabbi Chiya really didn't know. He wasn't an expert because he was Babylonian. However, our edition of Tanakh actually follows Rabbi Chiya. If you were to open up our editions of Tanakh, you would find Yadav written complete, like Rabbi Chiya's position. Not like their position. And it's entirely possible that that's why he said what he said. That's why Rabbi Chiya said it, because he in fact had the edition that we today have. So there's a lot of back and forth here that's very confusing, and it can cause us to miss what the overall picture here is about. So that's where David's comment comes in. David says, I think it's saying that acts of Kedusha are greater than acts that are not inherently Kadosh. David, can you flesh that out for us? Are you able to speak, or are you typing because you're not in a place where speaking works? Okay, I'm guessing that speaking is not an option for you. The Beis HaMikdash is Kadosh, but Shemayim and Aretz are not. So the act of Kedusha is the act of the Beis HaMikdash. The problem I would have with that is that that's not the way the Gemara frames it. In other words, if that was what the Gemara wanted to say, it could say that very easily. It knows how to say, acts of Kedusha, non-acts of Kedusha. I think what it's doing, like what the Shita Mekubetza said before, is it's valuing the human being. And it's saying, this is the greatness of the human being. Hashem gave the human being a bracha of peru revu. Hashem values the creation of human beings over all the other creatures. And the demonstration of that is the value placed upon that which a human being creates. When the human being directs his efforts, her efforts, towards Kedusha, like in building the Beis HaMikdash. What you do, when you do something good, is greater than creation of Shemayim V'aretz. It sort of reminds me, actually, of the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos that talks about Kol HaDan Din Emes La'amito. That somebody who judges honestly, and there's a whole discussion about what emes is versus emes la'amito is, but a judge who judges honestly is considered a partner of Hashem in creation of the world. You're a partner in creation. And that's sort of, reminiscent of what's going on here. We are comparing favorably the human being's act of Kedusha with creation of heaven and earth. There we say you're a partner. Here we're saying that you're actually even greater. That's the idea. Are we clear? I skipped one point. What's with the fingers? Right? When the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have a plural regarding creation of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Going back to our Gemara, I forgot to share it, hang on. Right, we said Yatsaru, plural, is referring to Etzba'osav, to Hashem's fingers. In other words, the fingers of one hand. The are the plural involved in creating heaven and earth. So honestly, here my gut is to go mystical with it and to suggest that it has something to do with mystical midos and different attributes, which I'm not qualified to speak about in depth. But I suspect that that's what you have to do in order to explain what the etzba'os, what the fingers are doing here. All right. So what we've accomplished today is we got through two agadatas of Bar Kappara. The first one about the bracha and its association with wanting to have initial relations on a particular day of the week. Second is the greatness of the deeds of human beings when they invest in Kedusha. There's going to be one more piece of Agadata from Bar Kappara coming up next week, and that'll be starting a one line up from the bottom, where he'll be talking about human fingers, and the value of human fingers for mitzvos. And then it'll come back to something that we started talking about a while ago, which is the question of whether, in the case of a besula, they're allowed to have first relations on Friday night. So that's going to be where the Gemara is going to go with this. Clear? Yes, Eldon.
So this is an interesting. I mean, here we were talking about whether the first relation should be on Thursday night or Friday night, the chasda Wednesday or Thursday, and then we get off on this great tangent about plural or singular fingers in the creation of the world and the reference to Tzadikim, which is like so off topic to me from where we were.
Yep. Welcome to the Gemara.
Now I have a really dumb question for you. So it talks about the fingers of God creating the Tzadikim, but when he manages to create or perform Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's Esbel Elokim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's only took him one finger to create the Jewish nation outside of Mitzrayim.
Well, actually, I mean, if you think back to the way we use that in the Medrash there, and it's quoted in the Haggadah, that's talking about the Makos. Etzba Elokim is not about the creation of the Jewish people, it's about the Makos.
Right.
But what you're saying, I think, will connect. Meaning, the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, who I have no doubt go to town on the whole thing here about the two hands, and I didn't bring you the Maharsha, largely out of mercy for myself. The Maharsha has a whole discussion here about creation of the Beis Hamikdash with one hand and two hands, and the names of Hashem and Chesed and Rachamim, and reforming the letters of the names of Hashem. You know, once you do that, and then you go into the etzbos, yes, you're, it's anybody's guess, you know, what the Kabbalists are going to say, but I have no doubt that it will also apply to what you just referenced about the makos, about the plagues being from God's finger, and then there's the maka that's God's hand, and all of that. It's all going to connect. How it connects, you got me, but it's all going to connect.
You got time.
So do you.
I have another question for you, but I'll email it to you tomorrow. You don't have to rush.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good week. It's good to be back to Ksuvos. God willing, next week it'll actually be Ksuvos as opposed to the Agadita.
What time?
7:30. We're at 7:30 now, I think, for a long